radio and television, with actual broadcasts from 1938, stories, voices, and music. Their curated collection was set up for listening and recording. So much happened in 1938. Chamberlain met with Hitler, Czechoslovakia fell, Kristallnacht foreshadowed the Holocaust to come. In I Remember 1938, people alive in that year shared their memories. A victory garden in Altadena, the bombing of Coventry, gas masks in the UK, blackouts in Los Angeles, the internment camp at Manzanar, isolation in the Midwest, and reflections about what education means and why Christmas conveys a message of peace. To listen to the programs featured in this commentary, go to kpfk.org/archives for December 25th, 2025. At 9 a.m., 1938 Lull to Sleep, plus a simulated news broadcast, replaces a rebroadcast of Tom Hartman. At 10 a.m., I Remember 1938 replaces a rebroadcast of Amy Goodman. You'll hear familiar voices and those new to you. This two-hour Christmas special has been broadcast on KPFK thanks to teamwork. We are your community radio station powered by the people. This is John Crumshaw with a politics or pedagogy commentary.
On KPFK, you hear more than a soundbite. That's education. That's our mission.
Please make your contribution at 818-985-5735 or pledge online at kpfk.org.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. The time now is 1 p.m.
Welcome to Radio Intifada, a weekly review of politics and culture, covering the whole region of South and West Asia and Northern Africa. We regularly broadcast to Pacifica Station on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles and online at kpfk.org. My name is Misha Chowdhury, and today on our special one-hour episode, we are joined by not one, not two, but three entire poets. We are joined by Rafi Joe Vartardian, the inaugural poet laureate of Glendale, Palestinian creative Bara'a, as well as Palestinian poet and filmmaker Amani Izak. We will be listening to some of their poems today, as well as just taking some time to talk to them about their various incredible artistic practices. So starting off with Rafi Joe Vartardian is a writer, musician, and educator who teaches writing at UCLA and currently serves as the inaugural poet laureate of the city of Glendale, California. He is Also currently a fellow with the Academy of American Poets to support poetry programming with communities impacted by the January 2025 Eaton fire, which was already an entire year ago, if you can believe that. He is also a grantee with the Gulbenkian Foundation to create a Western Armenian poetry community at the intersection of language and folk music. His essays have appeared in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Review of Books, University of Texas Press, Miami Herald, the Baltimore Sun, LAFAM's Quarterly, Outside Magazine, and many, many more. Thank you so much for joining us, Rafi.
Thank you.
We are also joined by Bada'a, an independent Palestinian filmmaker, artist, songwriter, and poet. Her writing is filled with grief and is a reminder that loving something doesn't always put it within reach. She often returns to the sea that connects the coast she calls home. You can stream her debut single, Poppies, track 5 of the Palestine and Sudan Freedom from Famine fundraiser tape on Bandcamp. Thank you for joining us, Bada'a. And thirdly, we are joined in the studio by Amani Izak, an award-winning Palestinian-American poet and producer from Northern California. Her work has been featured in the United Nations, Be Still Media Foundation, the Markaz Review, Palestine Festival of Literature, PAAC, LA River Arts, and more. She has taught and performed across the country alongside poet laureates and Grammy-nominated spoken word artists. Her work takes influence from Hakawati, the ancient Arab art of storytelling, as her great-grandfather, Khalil, was the village Hakawati of his time. Spoken is her debut book of poetry, for which she is currently seeking a publisher for those of you out there who work for poetry presses. Thank you so much for joining us, Amani.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Alrighty. So we're going to start off with Mr. Poet Laureate of Glendale, Rafi Joe Vartarian. Rafi, take it away.
Right. How many poems should I read?
Let's start with 2.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. The first poem I'm going to read is about the fires. So in Glendale, we're about 6 or 7 miles to the west of Altadena. And during the fires, we knew a lot of people who lost their homes, lost their schools. An Armenian church burned down. We knew an retired couple. One was a scholar of religion. His wife was Armenian from Palestine. They lost their home. I also had a student who lost her home in the Pacific Palisades. And in Glendale, we were very lucky not to be evacuated. We were pretty close to the evacuation border. Pretty much 5 minutes away, people were being evacuated. But because of our proximity, the sky was black. It was looked like it was snowing, but actually it was ash twirling down.
Wow.
And, we were kind of stuck inside and with our, I think he was 3 years old at the time, trying to keep things light, And, of course, we got very lucky. And simultaneously, there was all the horrible things in Gaza that were happening. And so I just wrote this poem about that time. It's called Fire Season. Sienna sun, statue scent, sarcoma cells in our collective trachea. Stuffed with ash twirling like holiday cheer that melts into the nightmare of America here. Not a dream, not snow, not so far from the fate of Rome. Tuesday gusts, horizontal aperture. Wednesday black, void sky. Thursday gray, perpetual purgatory. Friday blue, artificial optimism. Weekend monochrome. They're not snowflakes, they're someone's home. Not a wildfire, but man-made conflagration. What of human hubris mistaken for nature's might? What if angles of deviation were taken for the natural conditions of a market? What about transmission towers only buried in sufficiently affluent neighborhoods? Can't pay? Then you might get buried. New mother, scorched bassinet. Family of four, incinerated photos. Student body, schoolyard junkyard. To the scholar of religion, his family home reduced to a projection of our survivor's guilt. We're so sorry. It's okay, he says, swifter than Santa Ana embers, his conviction the closest thing to assurance in a world where skies freeze, streets melt, songs choke. This, he continues with a gesture to the charred community, is what happens every day in Gaza. A fire is not a genocide, but a genocide is an inferno.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the next poem is, there's a lot of flags flying around, and I think most recently within the last few years, it's been the Ukrainian flag. And it's been the Ukrainian flag for many different reasons. But, you know, simultaneous or just a little bit after Russia invading Ukraine, Azerbaijan invaded and ultimately ethnically cleansed Artsakh. No flags, no one was saying anything about it. It was pretty much the same exact dynamic, having a dictator invade a, you know, sovereign territory, invent territorial claims to justify, you know, a fake revisionist narrative to carry out, you know, ethnic cleansing and justify the war that's, you know, profiting lots of people who benefit from the warmongering that, of course, we're now seeing in Venezuela continue. Mm. So anyways, I was in Washington, D.C. in September for the National Book Festival at the Library of Congress. And right in front of Congress, I saw more people waving Ukrainian flags. And that was like, you know, that moment in poetry is like you've just, it's like someone punches you in the gut and you just have to say something. So that's where this poem came from, when I saw that particular Ukrainian flag. This poem is called Flags. If you fly a Ukrainian flag, then hang a Palestinian flag. If you fly a Palestinian flag, then hang an Armenian flag. If you fly an Armenian flag, then hang Artsakh's flag. If you fly Artsakh's flag, then hang the Navajo flag. If you fly the Navajo flag, then don't hang the variation of stars and stripes in whose names the slaves were hung. Better yet, hang the human flag. All colors and stitches, so ripe with infinitude that color and shape dissolve, cloth transcended, unity fomented, anthems merged, cannot be chiseled into Byzantine bronze extracted from quarries dug so deep that miners unearthed a mass grave of children's hopes shrouded in messianic prophecies.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was
incredible. I can't wait to get into it. Well, actually, Bara'a, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello! Would you like to share 2 to 3 poems with us, please?
Yes. So I'll actually start off with one. Growing up Palestinian and growing up in the West, I grew up with people not speaking about Palestine. And when I'd bring it up in a room, it was either something no one knew, or you never knew people's reaction, whether it was going to be, they're going to be with you, or it was going to be the opposite. And so I'd written this poem back in, I think, 2022, and performed it at an open mic night for Palestine. One moment, please. Is called Philistine, Is This My Fight? I've sat down countless times to write a piece about Philistine, but nothing ever seems right. I'm finished work, filling up my notes up as a question. Why can't I get this right? The lack of information, I have to finish a piece, while the other is too heartbreaking to read. Imposter syndrome strikes, as I wonder, is this right? Listening to my friends rattle off facts, believing I don't know enough, that because my knowledge is as expansive, I'm not Palestinian enough. Warning people I've never met in a land I've never stepped foot on. Truly a child of diaspora. Do I have the right to fight for a life I've never lived, to put myself in the spotlight? I keep reminding myself, this is my fight, these are my people, this is our land. Are we automatically from a place even with no roots there? As Palestinians living in faraway land, we get swept up in everyday life as we have a duty to fight, but we must live a life where we constantly have to prove our rights, a right to life, a right to land that's ours. Chaotic, right? Well, that's my brain, overthinking, anxiety-ridden, but I try. I try to seem okay as I fight through their hate in their eyes when they see my face, when I start to speak, and they truly get to know me. Mm-hmm. In the rare spaces where I'm accepted, I embrace it. But once I leave that space, I'm faced with automatic hate, making me wonder, am I in the right place? Where millions of people don't acknowledge my existence, where my only proof is a map pre-1948. My grandmother is older than your state. It's not a race. Oh, the act of being displaced. It wasn't until 2022 that I got to speak my truth in class with other activists. Professors who have seen me for who I truly am, who told me to keep going, who told me it was okay. It was a PM from another place, from another land, a land I failed to know. Have I failed? Have I failed to encapsulate what it means to be Palestinian, a Palestinian-American living in diaspora where my identity doesn't seem to exist in the greater public? It's all right. I'll still fight, because no matter how much I get torn down, I still know who I am. Does this make me an activist? Art, activism, why does everything have to be perfect to attract attention? There has to turn for them to care enough to perform. Listen, don't let anyone diminish your voice. It's powerful, even when darkness strikes. Commend the Palestinians on the front lines, the martyrs who give me the strength to fight. I hope I make my ancestors proud. Another Palestinian American fighting for liberation, so I can say I'm home. Tears in my eyes by my family's side. But it all with them, next week of Palestine. With our soul and blood, we'll liberate Palestine.
Thank you, Bara.
No, of course.
Bara, you sound like you are in an airfield. No, that's okay. What we're going to do is we're going to move to Amani first, and then we will come back to you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, Rafi and Bara'a and Misha, Radio Intifada. Honored to be here. So I'll just go into the first piece. This one's called Sirens of Guernica, based on the bombing of the Spanish civilian town of Guernica by Nazi Germany during the Spanish Civil War. So, you know, this was a civilian town, no weapons, no nothing, and Nazi Germany was just dropping bombs on them. Mm-hmm. And so in a state of emergency, they rang sirens, and, you know, they began to ring those same sirens in response to what is happening to Palestine. And this piece is based on that moment. Sirens blare, making the people aware of imminent danger, of invaders and enslavers. The worst of human behavior is upon us. Let it shock us to our core. Bodies are sprawled across the floor, the gore, oh, the gore. A man carries a foot in a bag, limbs that once had a figure. There isn't a sliver of hope as we watch them vote our lives away. Mm. Awaiting at death's door, the corridors filling with blood. How it floods our screens. How their screams travel across oceans. How my devotion has only grown stronger, yet my body's become fatigued. Cortisol is seeping through my veins. The people are being slain in the name of security. The children are bleeding from their eyes. Leaflets are falling from the skies with biblical texts of demise, of genocidal intent. They huddle in tents that pretend to be homes, like the ones that were blown to bits. There's a pit in humanity's stomach. There's nothing we can do. Evil's on the loose, and he's coming for you next. Bless this holy home. Let the sirens blare. Tear into the fabric. end this horrific nightmare. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So this next piece I'll do two or three? Okay, I'll do two more then. So next piece I'll do is called Darabuna. I've been inspired, for lack of kind of better words, by all of the, videos coming out of Gaza, and, this one in particular was the direct aftermath of an explosion. Mm-hmm. There was smoke and you couldn't see in front of you. All you could hear was, a man screaming, Darabuna, guttural scream, Darabuna, which translates to, they hit us. And this was based in that moment. Darabuna, meaning they hit us. Not a whisper, but a wail. Not a wish, but a prayer, Ya Allah. Blood and smoke. The Holy Ghost rises, leaving behind the darkness, the sharpness of this death. A baby is nestled underneath a mother's arms, beneath the rubble, nuzzled beside her warmth. Her voice vibrates from the chest, through his body, through dimensions, blessing all of the children. The men, as they pry through the debris, with bare feet and on their knees, a prayer, not a wish, to die before being hit. Darabuna. Thank you. Mm. Thank you. I'll just do this last one. A People Unknown, it just kind of speaks for itself. This fight has been a century-long fight, and the gravity of, all fights for the oppressed, all fights. But this one is, we're seeing it. We're seeing it every day, just how deep this rabbit hole goes. We've known that. We've been trying to tell people that, had to get to this point for the world to kind of see what is happening to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So A People Unknown is what this one is called. We are a people that the world never truly knew. We are Palestinian. We are fig and olive trees that sprouted from seeds millennia ago. We are a coastal paradise. We are pride and never prejudice. We are holy testaments from the days of less hate and more hospitality. We are the totality of God's wishes. We are traditions that fight for survival. We are man-made rivals. We've been forced into exile, and the Nile is our witness. We are owed every inch of land that was ripped from our flesh, and we will not be contested. They're arresting our children in the name of God. They're calling us frauds, then bombing our people. They're calling us evil, then seething with rage. This is the last stage of the Nakba. The final solution. Disproving that they ever wanted peace. They are the embodiment of greed. Our trees have been burned along with our sacred bodies. Ungodly behavior has taken over the Holy Land. Invaders by plan, not of God, but by man. But when man puts his hand in fate, it will divinely be taken down. For to be proud of murder is to bow to the devil. No level of justification will be accepted from above. Not atop the graves of dead babies. Not across the screams of entrapped civilians. Millions will now know our names and the strength of a people that they always shamed. But we remain the same because we never bore the blame. The flame within our heart comes from the earth. From our ancestors. From each stitch of Tatriz and the leaves of the orange trees in Yaffa. You never asked. though we always told. We were never bought, yet somehow sold. But the soul of Palestine will live on forever in our hearts and now yours too. This is the story of a people that the world never truly knew.
Mm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
You are listening to Radio Intifada on independent and listener-sponsored KPFK. That's 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and 93.7 FM in San Diego, and streaming live on kpfk.org. Today, we are treating you to poetry by Rafi Joe Vartarian, Amani Isaac, and Bara'a. Bara'a, are you there?
Yes, I can now hear you.
Yay, we did it. Okay, that first poem, the noise was actually a part of it. We were intentionally obfuscating the truth of et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, welcome again, Bara'a. Please continue.
Okay. I'll read two others, though, a bit shorter. So one of them was more of a statement I wrote, and I performed at an event 2 years back, and as I was walking out, I spotted a question. Someone had written a question on a sticky note and left it on their seat, and so I grabbed it on the way out, and I still have it saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized it had related to something that I had written on day 82 of this current genocide. So the question was, what main emotion helps you write these poems? Written at 82 days, 75 years. I write to grieve, I write to rage, I write to exist. Every time I blink, another martyr falls, another soul taken to become a number. A number with stories and dreams of what was and could have been. I write for my loved ones who can't, for my ancestors who died or were killed under occupation. I write for all the Palestinians screaming for the world to show up, for humanity not to turn a blind eye. I write for me. I write because my heart feels constricted, and the only way to relieve it would be to let it escape my chest. I write because the greatest revolutionaries taught me to. They taught me the power of words that will lead to our liberation.
Mm-hmm.
And then this next one is called The Souls That Have Departed. And I wrote it about my uncles who I lost during COVID, who I never had the pleasure of sharing a space with. I wonder if you can hear my thoughts from across the ocean and beneath the grave. Underneath soil, I have yet to grace next to Sidi and Sitto in the city they called home after being displaced. Among the date palms in Arija, they still call your names. Ya Musa, Ahmed, in unison for the twins. The one who jokes and the other who whispers. Like characters in a film I admired from afar and dreamed of meeting one day. I wonder if we'd known each other past the niceties of salam and our names. If I picked up the phone a couple more times to ask about your day, if then I'd be able to pick your voice out of a lineup, and that sound you made out of amusement when Baba called me over the hahi of another spilled cup of ahwe. If I would know you past the descriptors people gave, like when Mama said, I'm Musa zi khalikata, wa amak Ahmed zi khalik na'ed. I wonder if you'll hear the tears stream down my face when the numbness begins to fade as I stand over your graves, reading Surat al-Fatiha for the souls that have departed by Allah's grace, save from witnessing the atrocities we still face. In illahi wa in illallahi raja'un. I'm a Musa, I'm Ahmed. I still rage in your names. May we meet in the Akhira with liberation on our face.
Mm.
Mm.
Ameen.
Nice.
Okay, my goodness. Well, I'm super psyched to have all three of you here. And I think something that really struck me while listening to all three of your works is there's that tension between poetry as something that is slow moving and something that you sit with both as like a creative practice and as a reader. So that kind of like slowness and like meditative quality and how that feels like it rubs up against the urgency that of course we've been witnessing over almost, you know, moving into actually in year 3 of the genocide. And as well as watching like the ethnic cleansing of Artsakh, or like,